Back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Coming up at the 10 o'clock hour, I'm going to spend a little time on the governor's race. You want to stay tuned for that. We also got coming up on the program Scott Butcher from the Trustful Tribune and Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. So make sure you stick around for that. But joining us now, it's been a little bit, but he's always been very kind to this show. Especially down in South Mobile County, but State Senator David Sessions is on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How you been?
Good morning. Doing well. Trying to survive this cold weather.
Yeah, it is. We get our like week or so of cold weather, right?
Yeah, we get in our little winter time.
Yeah, well, and bundle up. We'll be with it for a few days here. Let's start here, Senator. Just got to talk about, you and I were talking off air. There's been a little bit of a shakeup in the state Senate. You got a new pro tem, it looks like, coming in with Senator Gudger. But you got the front row seat to a lot of that. What are your expectations?
Hey, I think I'd done some interviews earlier. I think we had two good men running. Their philosophies are a lot. Are extremely similar, and I think it'll be a smooth Senate transition. I expect Senator Gudger to do a good job, and I'm certainly going to do everything in my power to help him become successful.
Well, and I mean, I feel like the first 2 years have been pretty productive. Now, do you anticipate the same kind of level of production next year? Especially with some of these controversial or whatever we call them, not necessarily controversial, but like the school choice and things like that and these tax cuts. But, the third year of a quadrennium, this will probably be it. In that fourth year, you're getting ready for an election.
Yeah, as always, you get ready for a reelection. That last year, you try and condense it down a little bit to doing our constitutional duties. In which any year, is our duties to have balanced budgets. That's our main objective and goal every year. So this year, I do see a few controversial things on the horizon. Hopefully some of that stuff can get worked out with some compromise. And anytime you have something controversial, it's our job to try and come to an agreement and do what's best for the citizens of the state of Alabama. So, I don't expect it to be a session like last year, perhaps, but still a little bit of controversy will be going around.
Well, I mean, and your colleagues are probably tired of me asking, you think gambling's going to get another look at it this year?
I think so. I don't know how successful it will be. Jeff, you and I have talked several times on gaming. It's not a good way to fund government. When the economy turns bad again, and it will, because things cycle. It's not a necessity, and if people are smart, they won't be spending their power bill money on lottery tickets and gambling. I've always had a philosophical issue. Now, I don't mind letting the people vote, but it's our job as senators and representatives. If we send something to the people to vote on, it needs to be something that's good for the state of Alabama and not something that's just good for the gambling interest in the sake of having money in the government to fund government.
Yeah, well, and the funding mechanisms here, let's talk a little about that, because, you know, all this federal money that had been kind of sloshing around the state and state coffers the last several years, I mean, that feels like that's finally kind of gone out the door.
Well, yeah, Jeff, but, you know, most of that money was already basically spoken for, had to be spent in certain areas. It really didn't relieve our constitutional duties of the major budgets. You know, that revenue came from our economy and from inflation. Look, you know, inflation added a lot of money into the revenue streams when you're a sales tax state. When a product goes from $4 to $8, you've just doubled the tax if you're taxing on a percentage, you know. So, you know, that's where a lot of those surpluses came from. People were thinking it was federal dollars when it was not all, you know, due to federal dollars being sent in. Now, some of that going away, I think it is because inflation is cooling. I think the economy will get back on track. But, you know, I don't think we're going to see any huge dips in revenue streams.
Well, you know, we're not looking at, like, any proration or anything crazy like that. But maybe it's this, and the way I should ask it, the budgets have been growing. Maybe the growth kind of tapers off some.
I believe that's the way I would put it. You know, I think the growth is going to slow. But as long as you have a little bit of growth, it's you know. Then again, you may pick it up in somewhere else. If the economy gets better, you may see an increase in sales and houses going back in, get interest rates back down some, or housing will be a little bit more affordable because I know that market has cooled. And, so, you know, there's looking forward to the new administration coming in and some of their policies, I think, will, should help states.
Yeah, and you and I talked, the conversation will always stick with me, Senator, about sort of the way that the direction of ag was going and then the hollies that time and how cost prohibitive it was to be a farmer right now. Now, look, we got a new administration coming in. What's your outlook? Do you anticipate, and I guess it's kind of the name of the game in farming, but do you anticipate some easing of these burdens of these input costs?
You know, I do believe you get, you know, so much of agriculture is tied, and like all manufacturing and any production, you're tied to energy costs. And when, you know, the price of a barrel of oil is $80 to $100, and, you know, that raises the price of, you know, the transfer of product. It raises the price of the packaging of the products. It raises the price of the manufacturing of the products you use. You know, and it increases your inputs on the farm exponentially. So, but I do believe it will, I think you will see expenses on the farm coming down some. Is there enough, you know, is it soon enough or enough to do a lot of good? I really don't think in commodity agriculture it's going to be quick enough to save a lot of farms. I believe you'll see a lot of farms go out of business in the next 2 years just because they can't, you know, the lending institutions can't continue to take that risk. And I certainly understand it.
Well, I mean, what happens if you see these farms go away? Do they just get gobbled up by bigger farmers or bigger farms? What does it look like?
Some of it will be, you know, kept in production. Some of it you'll lose production. Some of it will be sold. You know, we live down here in Mobile and Baldwin County, and, you know, it's 40 acres here and 80 acres here getting bought up every other day by a developer to put in a subdivision, or, you know, we've got a lot of economic growth from the port And so, you know, that's, you know, someone in my position, you tell you, I've got land that's valuable, a lot more valuable for a commercial site or a home site than it is for a pecan tree that I'm losing money on every year, over the last few years. So I think the average age of the farmers in Alabama is 59 years old. And when you go to looking at getting into those 60s and 70s and 80s, why do you want to keep fighting it? And if you have an opportunity to sell property and live out the rest of your life without having to worry about making those mortgage payments.
Well,
so it's going to be tricky to navigate. You know, one of the biggest problems with agriculture is we're at such a disadvantage against other countries. You know, our government, unfortunately, our federal government has so many regulations and stipulations and so many hoops that we have to jump through. But yet the borders, the imports are given free rein to come in here, no different than the seafood industry. You know, the imports free rein and there's no checks and balances on how they're producing it. There's no guarantee that they have to treat their employees and pay their employees a adverse wage amount like they force us to do. So, you know, the American First policy, hopefully I will get an opportunity to go speak to the Secretary of Agriculture and speak to some people in Washington, D.C. to make them understand that, you know, American agriculture is going to be gone in this nation if we don't change the attitude and the way that we treat our production agriculture in this country, Jeff. It's really sad. You know, and President Trump's talking about those tariffs. I'm with him 100% because, you know, I can't grow a tomato for, it costs me 20 times the amount to grow a tomato, the regulations that I have to go through compared to someone in Mexico.
Let's talk about the tariffs real quick. Last time Trump was in the White House, he had these tariffs, but then there were like retaliatory tariffs, you know, aimed at the farmers because that tended to be where our exports went. I mean, that's got to be something farmers are thinking about, I would think.
Yeah, it can. It can hurt some segments of agriculture if it's the segments that are basically all exported or majority exported. But, you know, just like the beef industry, we're at a deficit of cattle numbers right now. There are areas in this country, if you can't make money growing soybeans, you could put cattle on it and probably make a little money. You know, even here in the Southeast, we could probably shift some of this production agriculture into cattle. But you have to balance, agriculture has to be balanced to where you're not overproducing because we're our own worst enemy. When we go to overproducing, you just, running your price of your product down. Well, we're not as good. American agriculture, we're not as good as OPEC at controlling the price of our products.
Well, like, where I think the U.S. excels, you know, the food safety. And tell me this, though. Like, all of these regulations, I mean, people are going to think twice before eating a tomato from Mexico if they could get one from Sand Mountain, I would think. I mean, where do you give it up there by looking at, like, a regulatory regime that would be a little less strict?
You would think that, yeah, but look, you know, most people, 90% of the people are 95 or more, so removed from the farm that, you know, they think their food comes from Walmart or Kroger's or Costco. You know, they have no clue as to where it's from. And as long as it looks good and perhaps tastes good, they're good with it. And price is always, economy's bad. People need to save as much money as they can. And food has gotten high. And it's not from the farmers aren't getting the money out of it. It's the shipping and packaging and, storage, all that. All those costs are just have increased exponentially the last 4 years. And it's really putting a strain. Labor Department, the Federal Labor Department is killing agriculture. They have these, they come up with these regulations that you have to pay an adverse wage to a H-2A or a H-2B. And Jeff, all that money's going to Mexico or South Africa or wherever these H-2A or H-2B workers are from. Majority of that money is going to those countries to live back to their families. They keep just enough to, live while they're here. And our government is getting no tax revenue off of it. But yet they're making us pay these higher wages when, we don't have to pay U.S. citizens
right
that much. I mean, it's really a bad situation on that. And they just keep, I think the adverse wage in Alabama went up $2 an hour, over $2 an hour, just because the federal government said it needed to be more. And they looked at it, and you go to paying $16 an hour for somebody to come out here and pick up sticks in front of a pecan harvester or pick tomatoes. You go, that's getting up there, and like I said, no taxes held. All that money's going back. You have to house them. The H-2A, H-2B is a good program, but the Labor Department has come in and just with their rules and regulations have really caused it to be cost prohibitive. And just like on our farm, Jeff, we had to use H-2As. We do a lot of produce. You can't find anybody to do that work. And, they have jobs. Somebody that wants a job has a decent job in this area. And so, our situation is the point where we're going to have to cut our guys probably in half because we just can't afford that high of a wage when you have to house them, you have to transport them, you have to pay to get them here, and then you have to pay that adverse wage that they've just, fictitious numbers. And they're not fictitious, but they, they use formulas to come up with it. When you hired local folks, you can hire them at minimum wage.
I hate to cut you off, Senator, we're way long here, but we got to get out of here and get to a break. You've been very kind to come on this morning, and let's do it again soon.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. State Senator David Sessions there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.